Thank you, O God, for being here with us, Father. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, O God, for the name of Jesus. We thank you for the living Word who is alive in our hearts. We pray, O God, that you will manifest your Word in us, O Lord, by your Spirit, Father, so that everything that is within us will come alive to all that you mean to bring forth in each one of us, Father. We are called to be a people who are built in your strength, Father. A people who are able to do all things by your Spirit in Christ Jesus. You have called us to be a victorious people. You have called us to be a success. You have called us to be possessors of the land, Father. You have called us to reign with Christ in the heavenly places. To be seated, O God, in the heavenlies, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. You have called us to be a people who are able to proclaim your greatness, Father. A people who are able to manifest your greatness upon the face of the earth. In every situation and circumstance, Father, you have called us to be victorious. Unveil your word into our hearts. Unveil your word that will build this success into us, Father. Unveil your word that will enable us, O God, to draw life from you and to be able to express that life in thought, word, and in deed. In all that we do, Father, in word and in deed. Let your word be expressed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let everything that is within us, O God, be alive, O God, to the fact that we are growing. That we are called to be a people who are successful and prosperous, Father, in the ways of the Lord. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to talk about success, and today we want to talk about the foundations of success. God has called us to be a people who are victorious, a people able to live in His strength. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. God's word is a covenant unto us. Always remember that. That when God opens His word to you, the purpose is to establish a covenant in your life. The purpose is to establish a covenant into which you can walk and discover the power of God. So in Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 9, God, through Moses, tells the people of Israel, so keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. It is the purpose of God that we prosper in all that we do. But in order to prosper in all that we do, God says, you must keep the words of this covenant. The word of God must be alive in our heart. The word of God must be alive in all that we do, so that we can prosper in all that we do. Okay, let's look at verse 10. You stand today, all of you, before the Lord your God, your chiefs, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the alien who is within your camps, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God, and into His oath, which the Lord your God is making with you today, in order that He may establish you today as His people, and that He may be your God, just as He spoke to you, and as He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now not with you alone am I making this covenant and this oath, but both with those who stand here with us today, in the presence of the Lord our God, and with those who are not with us here today. Amen. God has called us to be a success. God has called us to be a people who will prosper in His name. God has called us to enter into the oath that He has sworn to prosper us. So today we want to talk about prosperity and success as God wants it in our lives. The key to prosperity and success is God's word alive in our hearts. Is God's word alive in our minds? Is God's word alive in our lives? The key to success is what God wants to bring forth through His word through us. The key to success is measured by how we are able to stand in God. When God called forth Abraham, He called him out amongst His people. He called him to walk into a new place. He wanted to do something new with him. He brought him out from amongst his people, from all that he knew, so that God could bring forth through the life of Abraham something that was entirely different, entirely new, entirely of the stature of God. God wanted to bring forth a people who would be able to stand in His name. God wanted to bring forth a people who will be able to do all things by Him. God wanted to establish a people whom he would prosper in his own name. God had sworn an oath to Abraham that he would make his descendants like the stars in the heavens, that through Abraham nations will be prospered. God always had a covenant of prosperity and success to be unveiled in his people. God always had in his heart the reality of bringing forth a people who would be able to prosper in all of their ways, a people who would be able to proclaim God's greatness. And for that purpose, God gave the word. For that purpose, God declared that this word has the potential of becoming an oath in you, an oath that I will make in you. Today we have done a lot of teaching over the past several years actually, saying that the covenant that God wants to make with you and me is being written in our hearts. It is being written in our hearts. God wants to write his word into our hearts so that we will be able to live that word and be able to express that word in all that we do, so that God could prosper us, so that God could bring forth our lives in his name, so that God could declare his greatness through the lives that he has given us. God has called us to be a people set apart unto him. Let's turn to the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. From verse 3, Exodus chapter 19 from verse 3, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Words are very important to God. God does not give us his word for the fun of it. God expects to perform his word. God expects to perform his word so that he can prosper our ways. God expects to perform his words so that we can prosper in our ways. God expresses his words into us so that we will come forth as a people who belong to him. Through his word, God changes us. Through his word, God creates us. Through his word, God causes us to be a people who belong to him. That's why the word of God is so important. Because through the word of God, God is building you as a people who are able to live by God, as a people who are able to live in God, as a people who are able to live through God. As God unveils the word to your hearts, he is bringing into you his thoughts. He is bringing into you his promises. He is bringing into you his laws. He is bringing into you that which will enable you to live by him. Success in God is based on who God is in our lives. Success in God is based on what God can bring forth in our lives. Success in God is based on what he is able to do. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 13. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be, and you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath. If you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Very important words God says. And the Lord your God shall make you the head and not the tail. The Lord your God shall make you the head and not the tail. And then God goes back to his commandments. God goes back to his word. And he says, you are required to observe the words that I give you. You are required to receive the words that I give you. You are required to serve me. You are not required to, you must never serve other gods. And unless these words are alive in you, I cannot bring forth your life as I want to bring it forth. It is my purpose to make you the head and not the tail. It is my purpose to always keep you above and not underneath. But it is also my purpose that you understand that all this comes forth through the word that I put into you, through the word that I am writing into your heart, through all that comes forth into you through my word. God wants us to understand that he must first build us through his word before he can make us a success. Success is not measured by what you own. Success is not measured by what you possess. Success is measured by what you can do by God. Success is measured by what is alive in you that is of God. Success is measured by what is alive in you that is of God. In all that you do, in thought, in word, and in deed, it is what is alive in God that measures the success that you have. Right? And one of the key examples that we find in the scriptures is the life of Solomon. Solomon was someone who was successful in everything that he did. Solomon was a mighty success. His life was filled with abundance. Everything that he touched turned to gold. But Solomon's testimony is a very sad testimony, because in spite of all the worldly success that he had, he finally admits that he is a failure. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is after the book of Proverbs. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. From verse 4 onwards. This is what Solomon did with his life. Verse 4 says, I enlarged my works, I built houses for myself, I planted vineyards for myself, I made gardens and plants for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself, from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female servants, and I had home-born slaves. Also I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me, and all that my eyes desired I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. What does he say? After all the success that I have had, at the end of it all, when I look at myself, there is no profit in all that I did for myself. And this is very important for us to understand. Because many people think that prosperity is getting rich and having a lot of possessions. Many people think success is measured by who you are as you stand amongst men. But in the life of Solomon, God clearly shows that you can be blessed in everything that you touch and still turn out to be a total waste of time. Your whole life can be a total waste of time. Let's look at verse 17. In verse 17, Solomon then says, so I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Why did he write that? Why did he write that he hated life? Because all that he built could not stand, it could not remain. All that he had would one day disappear. And that's what he realized. So what is success? Solomon built parks for himself, he built houses for himself, he conquered lands. He was brilliant. He was a brilliant architect, he was a brilliant statesman, he was a brilliant lawgiver. He was a brilliant judge. He was wise. People came from far to hear his wisdom. People acknowledged him as being great. People declared his greatness. People proclaimed his greatness. Everything that he touched apparently turned to gold. But at the end of it all, he says, I hated my life. Because everything that I have done is grievous to me. Why? Because God was missing. Because God was missing. Solomon was anointed by God. And everything that he did was from that anointing. But Solomon disobeyed God. He walked away from God's word. He walked away from God's law and he did all kinds of things that were not of the law of God. And because he did not observe God's law, although the anointing worked and he did many great things, at the end of it all, his life was a waste. His life was a waste in spite of the fact that he did many things that appeared to be a roaring success. And the reason was very simple. When you walk away from God, there is nothing that you have that will remain. There is nothing that you have that can be considered a success. Because everything that you have in your own strength, everything that you have built in your own intelligence, will pass away. So when God says, I will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be above and you will not be underneath, if you keep my commandments, what is he saying? He's saying that whatever you do in your life, unless it is built in my word, unless it is built through my word, unless it stands in my word, it will be of no use to you. I can anoint you and I can give you giftings. But if you do not observe my words and if you do not understand my words and if you do not proclaim my words through your life, everything that you do will ultimately be a failure. No matter how much you possess, no matter how much you have, no matter how much you receive, no matter how much you do, it is not measured by what success is not measured by what you bring forth. Success is measured by what you have in God. Success is measured by who you have become in God. Success is measured by how much of God's word is expressed in your life. Success is measured by what your life testifies to of God. Success is measured not by how big your house is, how big your car is, how big your ministry is. Success is not measured by how large a church you pastor. Success is measured by who you are before God and what you have before God and whether it is of God. That's all. And this is one of the saddest aspects of human life, that so little of human life is built on the word of God. So little of human life expresses the word of God. So what we must understand at this point is that everything in our lives must be shaped and brought forth by the Spirit through the Word. It is not the anointings that we chase. It is the anointing to unfold the Word that we must understand. The purpose of the anointing is to unfold the Word. The purpose of the anointing is to receive the Word. The purpose of the anointing is to express the Word so that everything is built before God according to what God has ordained. Because at the end, when you look at your life, it is not going to be based on what man says, it is going to be based on what God says. At the end of it all, God is not going to measure your life whether you rode a bicycle or whether you rode in a Mercedes-Benz. It makes no difference to him. God is going to measure your life based on who he has become in your life. God is going to measure your life based on how he has become your God. In what way he has become your God? In what form has he become your God? How much of God is alive in you? How much of God is alive in what you have done? At the end of it all, God will measure success based on who he is and by all that he has become to you. And this is very important for you to understand, because many people are frustrated that they do not have a big house, a big car, that they do not have apparently all the trimmings that the world calls success. It's very important to understand that if you ride a bicycle, it doesn't mean you are a failure. If you ride a bicycle, it doesn't mean you are a failure. Because success is measured by who God is in your heart. Whether God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The important thing in life is to go through life and to come alive to who God is and to be able to express God in what you do in word and in deed. In that process, God would have built into you something that is of His stature so that you will be able to live by Him forever. Because giving you material things is no problem for God. Giving you material success is no problem for God. Because He is the Creator God. So what is it that God considers wealth? What is it that God considers riches? What is it that God considers as being a success? All that you have of Him, all that you have in Him, and that is what God will consider a success. All that you can use in His name, all that you can express of Him through what you do in word and in deed, that is what God will consider as a success. Because if you know how to function by God, you will ultimately have everything. You will ultimately have everything. And this is one of the flaws in the prosperity teaching that so often has captivated the hearts of many Christians. They think that if they are anointed and if they build big empires, God will be pleased. At the end of it all, the only measure of success is who is God in your own heart. Who is God in your life? Who is God in your thoughts? Who is God in your words? Who is God in your actions? That's how God will measure your life. That's how God will give you a position in His kingdom. Because success must ultimately be able to stand in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdom of men. Success must be a position that God has given you that is in His own name. Let's turn to Psalm 91 verse 1. Psalm 91 verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. God is concerned about what position we occupy in the kingdom of God. God has given us a secret place in which to dwell. The Bible says that we are eagles. Eagles live on mountaintops. Eagles do not live in valleys. Eagles live in mountaintops. In Psalm 91 verse 1, God describes His name as Most High. And the picture you need to catch is that God describes His name as an eternal mountain. A mountain so high that it is always Most High. It is a limitless mountain. And on that mountain of His name, He has a secret place for you. And that secret place is a secret between you and Him. It's a secret unfolded in your heart and in His heart. It is described by the covenant He makes with you. The covenant that He unveils in your heart through His word. It is unfolded in the promises that He gives you through His word. The promises that He puts into your heart and the promises that He will unveil through the anointings that He gives you. It is a secret place. That means it cannot be seen by others. They may see and perceive certain things, but the fullness of the secret place is strictly between you and God. And God has given you a secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means he will be covered by the Almighty God. What does the Almighty God mean? El Shaddai, the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. And this is what God wants to establish in your life and my life. A place where He will overshadow us. A place where He will overshadow us. A place from which His greatness will be seen through your life. A place from which His greatness will be seen through your life. Because you are created to unfold the greatness of God. You are created to unfold the awesomeness of God. You see, you read the life of Solomon and everything he built was for himself. He said, I built vineyards for myself. I did this for myself. I built gardens for myself. I built monuments for myself. Everything that my hands could make a success, I did. And at the end of his life, he looks at it and he says, this life I hated because nothing of it has any meaning to me. All meaning comes from who God is and all that God can be in your life. Because Solomon built everything using God's anointing for himself, his entire life was literally a waste, because God had great expectations for him. God had great expectations for his life. God ordained him for greatness. If there was anyone in the Bible ordained for greatness in the Old Testament, it was Solomon. God picked him, God kept him, God covered him. And God said, greatness is for you. But Solomon walked away from God and decided that he could unfold greatness in himself. Solomon thought that he could make a success of his life. Solomon's great tragedy was that he thought he was wise enough and smart enough and clever enough to do all things in his strength. And so his strength worked. Because of the anointing God gave him, he was able to see things that others could not see. He could perceive things that others could not perceive. He could do things that others could not do. But at the end of it all, he built many things and he did many things, but at the end of it all, God was through Solomon's life testifying that no matter what you do in yourself, in the end, it will pass away. In the end, it cannot remain. Because unless something is built in me, it cannot by definition be a success. Because I am your success story. I am your success story. Alright, so when you look at your life today, many people may look at you as a failure. But within you, before God, you know whether God is bringing forth something in your life that will remain. And if there is something in your life that is being built in God, then you are being built for success. You are being built for success in all eternity. Alright? You are not a failure. You are being built in the image of the Lord your God. You are being built as a son unto God. You are being built as a priest of the Most High God. You are being built as a prophet of the Most High God. You are being built as a king who will reign. And you need to understand that all that we are going through on earth, all the stretching, all the pain, all the difficulties that we go through, it is a training process. It is a training process to build us for success in the eternal future. It is a training process to establish us before God so that God can do great things in our lives and through our lives. It is a process by which God is molding us and shaping us and establishing us in His image. He is teaching us how to function by Him. He is teaching us how to possess things in Him and by Him and through Him. He is teaching us how to live on a mountaintop in the secret place of His heart. God wants us to occupy that place. He wants us to take hold of His word and receive a covenant. A covenant that He calls His oath. His oath made to you. His oath unveiled in your heart. His oath that will bring forth your life. His oath that will make you a new creation. His oath that will make you an eternal success. His oath of life, where He says, I will surely make you the head and not the tail. So we are a people who walk by faith. And by faith we must receive the word of God that He is building us for success. That He is building us to be a prosperous people. He is building us to be kings. He is building us to reign. He is building us to be the head and never the tail. He is building us to be above and not underneath. And you must be conscious of this in your heart. You must be conscious and alive to this in your life. Don't be taken up by the things that are here today. Yes, they are real. You can touch them. You can feel them. You can supposedly enjoy them. But if they are not going to be there in 20 years time or in 50 years time, they are of no use to you. Do you understand? Many people build their lives on what is here today and gone tomorrow. And based on what they seemingly have, They say they are a great success. They say that they are great men. And other men stand up and say yes and amen. But man-made greatness is only here today and it is gone tomorrow. There have been great men in history who supposedly did great things in history. Today we are living and all of them are of no consequence to us. It makes no difference whether there was an Alexander the Great or there was no Alexander the Great. It makes no difference to your life and my life. It makes no difference whether there was a Gandhi or whether there was no Gandhi. It makes no difference to our lives. Man-made greatness is not what God is talking about as being success. Why? Because it definitely passes away. Today there are people who think they are very great. In another 50 years they won't even be there. Nobody will even know where they are. Nobody will even care whether they did this or whether they did that. Are you with me? So in what way are you building your life? In what way are you building your life? Are you building your life for eternal success? Are you building your life by depending on God? Or are you just wasting your time? Are you just wasting away your life? When you look at your life, what are you doing with your life? We can do simple jobs or big jobs. It is not important what kind of job you do. But what is important is what is being built into you through what you are doing. If you can live and you can triumph in your workplace in the name of the Lord your God, you are learning something that will be inside of you forever. You are being built for success. It makes no difference whether you wear a three-piece suit or you ride a bicycle. But what is important is how you are living. What is it that is being built into your life that will be there 1,000 years from today? What will be there 1,000,000 years from today? And if you are being built in the character and nature and the image of the Lord your God, you will be there 1,000,000 years from today. But if you are being built in the character and nature of the world, I guarantee you it, that you will not be there. Maybe not even in 10 years' time. Everything that you have done in your life will pass away and your life will be a roaring failure. The lion roars and you will be devoured. Who is he who comes roaring like a lion? That is Satan. Right? Satan would have wasted your awesome destiny, stolen it from you and taken it from you. What did Jesus say? The devil comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. What is it that God wants? What is it that God has given you that Satan wants to take away from you, your life? All that your life can receive in God, that's what he is after. If he can make you waste your life away, what has he done after 30 years? He has stolen your life. Why? Because in 30 years you have built nothing that will be there. So that's what he's after. He's after there to steal from you what God wants to give you. The next part is he wants to kill you. Right? That's his purpose. At the end of it all, he wants to kill you. And how does he kill you? By having you focus on useless things. By having you invest your life on useless things. Things that will not be there when you die. Things that will be of no value to you when you die. We all must die one day. So what is it that you have that will be there after you die? Everything that God builds into your soul and your spirit will remain forever. You can drop dead tomorrow morning. Whatever you have in your soul and your spirit that is of God will remain. It will bless you. It will enable you to live. It will enable you to see a future. It will enable you to receive a future. It will enable you to walk into a future. It will enable you to prosper. Because life does not consist of the 70 years that we live on planet Earth. We are creatures destined for great things forever. That's what the Word of God tells us. That's what the Word of God wants us to understand. That you are called forth to be a success forever. that you are being built to become a success forever. Because we have fallen in sin, we have been affected by sin in many different ways. But the thing to understand is that sin is in us to kill us. Sin is in our life to steal from us everything that God wants to bring in us. Sin is in our life to destroy everything that is our destiny in God. But sin does not necessarily have to take hold of us. Jesus came and He opened a way for us. He opened a way in which we will be able to see new things, receive new things, and walk into new things. Jesus came to give us something that is of God, something that will remain in us, something that will grow in us, something that will be in us even when we die. And it's very important for us to understand that this is what we should be focusing on. That doesn't mean you don't have to have a job. It doesn't mean you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, you don't have to look after your children. But what it means is that whatever you do, it must be built in God. You can work in the world and still build things in God. You can function in the world and still function by God. You can do a secular job and still function by God. Daniel was such a man. Joseph was such a man. They functioned in the world system. They functioned in Satan's system. And yet they were a success. Right? Joseph was in Pharaoh's kingdom. Right? Which was full of idolatry. But God raised Joseph to stand at the right hand of Pharaoh. Pharaoh depended on Joseph. Pharaoh's success was entirely from Moses, from Joseph rather. The same for Daniel. God raised Daniel where? In the seat of Babylon. What does Babylon in spiritual terms mean? The throne of Satan. And in that place God raised a man. And when we look back, what is God telling us? No matter where you are, I am still God. I can still build. And although Daniel was sitting there, supposedly in the throne room of Satan, yet Satan could not touch one hair on his head. Some of us go into a certain place and we say, oh my goodness, the oppression is so great, so I must quit my job. How many jobs you want? We'll have to take you to heaven to get you a job. Tell me where you are not going to find oppression. Where are you going to find something that is going to be comfortable? There is no such place on planet Earth. Even in the church. Even in the church. So, what does God say? No matter where you go, I have called you to possess the land. I've called you to plant the reality of my name. I've not called you to run. I have called you to be an overcomer. I have called you to triumph over adversity. I have called you to triumph over those who curse you and those who ridicule you and those who abuse you. I have called you to triumph over everything that Satan has manifested that is destroying the human race. Right? So, the darker the place, the greater is the light that can be seen. In pitch darkness, if you strike one match, can you see the impact of that one small match? It is awesome. You can stay in a lighted place and you can bring another bulb. It makes no difference. Correct? It makes very little difference. But if you stay in a place that is full of darkness and you strike a match, the impact is very, very stunning, isn't it? Correct? The impact of one small match in a place that is pitch black is astonishing, isn't it? Now, isn't that a success? So if you can strike one small match in a place of darkness, haven't you brought forth something that is an awesome success? So where do you want to run to? Where do you want to run away from? You are called to manifest the light of God. You are called to set your heart on God and to live and express what God has given you through His Word. You are not there to react to what is happening around you. You are not there to react to demons. You are not there to react to wicked people. You are there to unveil the greatness of God. You are not there to run away from life. You are there to go and show that there is life. You are called to go forth and shine the light. You are called to declare the greatness of God. So whether you ride a bicycle or whether you ride a Mercedes-Benz, it makes no difference. What is important is what is the light that you are manifesting. That is your success story. Is the light of Jesus Christ? Then my brother, you are a rollicking success. If the light that is within you, if the light that comes out of your words, out of your deeds, out of your actions, is the light of Christ, then you are being built for success. You are being built as an overcomer. You are being built as a warrior. You are being built as a king who is learning how to reign, no matter what the circumstances are. No matter what kind of bosses we have, we can still reign. We can still triumph. We can still be victorious. We can still bring forth a wisdom that no university in the world can produce. We can bring forth talents that no one else produces. We can bring forth peace that no one else can buy or create. We can bring forth healing that no one else can manufacture. We are called to unveil the name of our God. The name of our God is Most High. The name of our God is the Almighty and All-Sufficient One. The name of our God is the Provider. The name of our God is the Shepherd. The name of our God is the Healer. The name of our God is the Banner of Victory. The name of our God is the Sanctifier. The name of our God is Peace. The name of our God is righteousness. The name of our God is that He is there. So what is your problem? Why are you not being built for success? Are you looking at the wrong things? Are you focusing on the wrong things? If you are, then you need to repent. If you are focusing on what is happening outside of you, then you are missing all the opportunities of what God is opening inside of your heart. You are missing all the opportunities God is opening for you from inside of your heart. You are foolishly turning your face away from God and you are focusing on that which is of Satan. You are focusing on things where Satan says he is king. And you are allowing those things to occupy your life. You are allowing those things to take up your life. You're allowing those things to steal your life away. You're allowing those things to destroy your life. So God has given you something in which to invest in. He has given you life. Where will you put that life? Because how you invest your life determines your success story. How you invest your life, how you invest your being, is what determines whether you are a success. Solomon invested his entire life on what he could do. And so he did. He did many great things. He accumulated great, great, great wealth. But at the end of it all, he looks at his life and he says, I wasted it. I hate this life. God has called us to live. God says, I am the life. So don't be discouraged by what appears to be small in your life. Don't be discouraged by what man does not recognize in your life. What is important is, how is your life being built? What is it that you are investing your life in? Are you investing it in the kingdom of God? Then the kingdom of God is indestructible. Where do we find that? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 and 28. The 12, verse 27 and verse 28. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What is it saying? There are two kinds of things in the world, created things and uncreated things. The created things can be shaken, and they are only there for a time.
Some created things are there for 10,000 years. But after the 10,000 years, they will be gone. The uncreated things are things that cannot be destroyed. Okay? So he says that God brings shakings in our lives so that we will leave. So that we will discover that which cannot be shaken. And that's God's purpose in our life. He wants us to discover the treasures that remain. The treasures that are of the kingdom of God. That does not mean God doesn't want you to work in the world. God doesn't want you to go and do things in the world, alright? But what God is saying, go and work in the world, but discover the treasures that I have for you. Okay? Go and do a secular job. Go and work in the ministry. Whatever you want to do. Wherever you go, you need to understand that what you are called to discover is the uncreated things. The things that cannot be removed. The wisdom of God, the understanding of God, the knowledge of God, the strength of God, the fear of the Lord, the truth that will set you free. The blessings that by which you can walk by the Spirit and know that God will unveil your situations and your circumstances in triumph and victory. No matter where you go, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Now that is success. That is victory. Because you are able to walk into things that would shake other people, that would tear the hearts out of them. But you are able to go through it because you are carried by the Lord your God. Because you are protected by the Lord your God. Because He is with you. Let's read verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. We receive a kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? The book of Luke chapter 17 verse 20 and 21 says that the kingdom of God is within you. King James Version, New King James Version. The kingdom of God is within you. So no matter where you go, no matter what you enter into, within you is the kingdom of God. You can live expressing the kingdom of God in what you do, in thought, word and deed. Correct? And that is what God wants you to discover. A life lived from the kingdom of God. The life lived in the kingdom of God. The life lived through the kingdom of God. The life that comes to you from God. Because what is built in the kingdom of God cannot be stolen from you. What is built into your soul and your spirit in the reality of the kingdom of God will remain with you. So when you die, your soul will pass into the kingdom of God. Why? Because it belongs to the kingdom of God. Because it is built in the kingdom of God. Because it is living in the kingdom of God. Because your inward parts are in the presence of God. And how do you enter into the kingdom of God? By hope, correct? By hope. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Within the veil is the kingdom of God. Out of the veil is the kingdom of darkness. But within the veil is the kingdom of God. And all you need to go into the kingdom of God is to set your hope on the Lord. To set your hope on Him by the word of God. To walk into something by trusting God. By walking into the situations and circumstances of your life by setting your hope on God. By walking into relationships that are built in the hope that you have on the Lord. In the trust that you have on the Lord. Now all that builds you for success. Faith is simply the substance of your hope. Faith manifests in you and becomes an evidence. Evidence of what? Of what you actually have in God. That is your treasure. Solomon built his treasures on what he was able to do with his hands. And although he could see all his treasures and touch all his treasures, he realized that his treasures could not come with him. And that's why he said, I hate this life. Yes, he had many things. But all that he had could not come with him. Amen? So, what do you have, brethren? It is what you have in your heart. It is what you have in your soul and your spirit. It is what you possess from your inward parts. That is what remains. Provided it is uncreated. All that is of God is uncreated. All that is of man is created. All that comes from God is of the uncreated. And that's what God wants each one of us to possess. Yes, God has created a universe in which we are to live. But God does not want us to live by what is created in the universe. He wants us to live by what is uncreated that comes from His heart. God wants us to occupy a place that is called the secret place of the Most High God. Why? Because He wants to bless us. Because He wants to unveil our lives as a blessing. The scriptures say, as a blessing to nations. So arise and walk in the wisdom of the Lord. Arise and walk in the fear of the Lord. Arise and walk in the triumph of the Lord. Arise and walk seeing what is real and what is unreal. Knowing the difference between what is transitory and what is abiding. All that you can touch, although it is real, it is transitory. All that you can touch, all that you can possess, although it is real, it is transitory. But all that stands in your heart by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is eternal. All that you can walk by the Spirit into is real, it is eternal, it will continuously grow because it is life. So when God called the children of Israel out, He says, hear my words. Have my words in your heart. Have my words in your heart. Have my words in your life. Because my words are a covenant, an oath of life to you. No one can take them away from you. No one can steal them away from you. Because they are my gift to you. They are the means by which I have chosen to build you, to create you, to fashion you, to ordain you, to anoint you, so that you will be a blessing to nations. So, do not look at the circumstances and situations of your life. Do not look at what has happened in the past. But understand what God has opened to you in eternal life. Understand what God has opened to you through the situations and circumstances of your life. What kind of opportunities God has given you to discover Him, to discover His promise, to discover His grace, to discover His love, to discover His strength, to discover His power, to discover His presence, to discover His anointings, to discover who He is. Because all that you receive from Him, that is what your life will consist of. What you possess in God and of God is what is the true riches that God has given you. That is the wealth by which your life will be measured. That is the success that you have. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Store not your treasures upon earth, where moth and rust will destroy. But store your treasures in the kingdom of heaven. Right? Are you with me? That is not to say that you cannot do well in your career and all that, but it is how you do well in your career. Right? It is how you live. It is by what you live that God counts. Right? So what you possess, that's unimportant. It is how you possess it, that's what is important. Right? So if you're called to full-time ministry, there's no shame in living day to day. What is shameful is if you have so much and you have nothing inside. That is what is shameful. Right? Some people have everything and have a heart of a rat. That is a disgrace. That is a total and complete failure. That is an abomination before God. To have nothing and to have a heart that can love is to have everything, brethren. That is more rich than any possession that the world can give you. So what is success, brethren? The Lord your God in you and over you. The Lord your God who makes your life. The Lord your God who blesses you. The Lord your God who satisfies you with good things. Amen. So as we celebrate the Passover, as we celebrate communion, what is Jesus talking about? Our Passover into the kingdom of God. Our Passover into God's righteousness. Our Passover into God's blessings. Our Passover into all that God means to anoint and sanctify our lives with. Everything, He says, will come to you as you remember me. Everything that will make you a success story will come to you as you remember me and as you unveil me in your thoughts, in your words, and in your deeds. Can you catch that? Very simple thing. Right? It is not how big what you are doing is. It is how you are doing it that counts. So we are all put in different situations. Some of us work in simple jobs, some of us work in big jobs. The job that you are doing is unimportant. It is how you are doing it, and that's what is important. So whether you do a small job well or you do a big job well, doing something well means the same thing. Can you catch it? So when God anoints and rewards, we will be surprised that so many who are supposedly great in the world will not be standing in the front to receive rewards from God. I think we will be shocked when God says, "These are my great ones," and you will see simple housewives stand before pastors who stood on pulpits and built kingdoms for themselves, or kings who thought they were great, or prime ministers who thought they could do everything. Greatness in the kingdom of God is not measured by what you possess or what you reign over. Greatness in the kingdom of God is measured by who God has become to you. That's all. Greatness comes from God. There is only one God, and He is the great God. There is no other greatness. So how much of God manifests from you is greatness. Right? How much of the Lord your God reigns in your life is the measure of your greatness. Right? The glory belongs to Him. But we have been given the privilege of enjoying that glory. That's what we must understand. We have been given the privilege of experiencing that glory and for manifesting that glory. But the glory is God's glory, because only one person deserves to be God. Can you catch it? So don't look at your life and think that you are not doing something worthwhile. Or don't kid yourself that you are doing something worthwhile. What is important is who is Jesus in what you are doing. Who is Jesus in what you are thinking. Who is Jesus in what you are unveiling. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, what is the Lord saying? Remember me. Remembrance is a lifestyle. Remembrance is a state of being in your spirit, your soul, your body. Who is Jesus in your spirit? Who is Jesus in your soul? Who is Jesus in your body? Who is Jesus in your heart? Who is Jesus in your mind? Because Jesus is the treasure God has given you. When you look at the cross, you need to understand that the treasure God has given you is the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His fullness. When you look at the cross, you find Jehovah Jireh unveiled to you in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, explained to you in the faith and love of Jesus for you. So as we remember, how we remember, what we remember, at what level do we remember, all that measures our success. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, we are celebrating the success God has brought forth in our lives in the name of Jesus. Make sense? All right. So we celebrate it according to who Jesus has become in our lives. The greater He is, the greater is the success of our lives. The greater He is the measure of the greatness that we have realized in His name by His merits. by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So, you are doing well. Right? Are you doing well? You should be doing well. If you have not been doing well as you should, then you should know how to do well. Amen? Nothing should stand in your way. Because everything in the kingdom of God is there with your heart. Right? Who will rise into the hill of the Lord? He who has a pure heart and whose hands have done no evil. Amen? How do you enter behind the veil? By setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you changed? By Jesus coming alive in you. How are you transformed? By the power of His resurrection. Everything has been given to you. Of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Everything is ours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, unveiled in us, in and by and through the name of Jesus. Amen. So we pray. Father, as we come to partake of this Holy Communion, we have come to celebrate all that you have brought forth in our lives as a living and growing success story, Father. The success that you have given us, the success you have given us is of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life will be measured by how much of Jesus is alive in us, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. Our lives will be measured not by what we possess, Father, but by who Jesus Christ is in us, Father. By what Jesus Christ has become in us. Of how we have come to sanctify His name. By how we have come to remember Him. By how we have come to exalt Him as Lord in our lives. By how we have come to love Him, Father, with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. So, Father God, as we celebrate this Holy Communion, we ask you, O God, to forgive us for the times when we have done that which is not right before you. The times in which, O God, we have denied your name, Father. The times in which we have gone after the things of foolishness, Father. But, Father God, we want to thank you, Father, for the times in which we have remembered you. The times in which, O God, we have walked in the triumph of the Lord. The times in which we have gone through difficulties and we have never forgotten you, Father. Times in which we have gone through adversity and suffering and pain. And yet, Father, you have remained as God in our lives. And we know, Father, that when we have gone through such situations, we have come forth as a success. We have come forth, O God, in the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for every victory we have realized, Father, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the power, we give you the praise. We bless you for Jesus alive in us. So, Father God, sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we partake, we will partake of him in his flesh and his blood, so that we can realize him and express him in our lives, so that our lives will be a living and growing success story, Father, built in the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns in our heart, O God, as Lord and Master, as Beloved, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want to bless you and thank you that we are able to celebrate all this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, as we partake of the bread of life, we are partaking of the life that you have given us in the flesh of the Lamb. The life that you have given us in the I Am of your name, explained to us in the Spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all that you are revealing of him, in his flesh, Father, what you are building into us, O God, is a new creation that is of his fullness. For it is written in your word, of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And Father, we celebrate that realization, O God, in this communion, Father. For what you have given us in the bread of life is also the hidden manna of your name. So that we can live by you, so that that covenant that you mean to unveil in the tablets of our heart will be a covenant in which, O God, we will be able to be blessed and to be blessed and to be blessed, and to come forth as a blessing that worships you in spirit and in truth. That is our calling, that is our destiny. And so we celebrate our destiny as a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate our destiny to come forth as a people led by the Holy Spirit in all that we do in thought, word, and in deed in the name of Jesus. We celebrate our destiny as a people chosen to hallow your name. And how we hallow you, Father, measures the success that we have realized by your Spirit in Christ Jesus. For the extent in which we hallow you is the extent in which, O God, we can live by you. The extent in which, O God, we can manifest your anointings and manifest all that comes forth in your presence. So, Father, when you proclaim, when you call us forth to hallow your name, you have called us forth to become an eternal and growing success, Father. Because as we hallow you, so will we live. And so we bless you and thank you that we can hallow the name of Jesus before you, Father, in this Holy Communion, knowing that what we hallow you with, Father, is the success that you have brought forth in each one of our lives, the miracle of salvation fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, the blood of the Lamb is life to us. And in the blood you have given us a living witness that enables us, O Lord, to live in your name all the time. The witness of the blood, the water and the Spirit enables us to be in communion with you all of the time. As this witness grows, O God, all that you have given us in your Son becomes alive to us, Father. It is this witness that bears testimony of the success that we have realized in the kingdom of God. Because by this witness, we can worship you. By this witness, we can serve you. By this witness, we can adore you. By this witness, we can move in your power. By this witness, we can walk by the Holy Spirit. By this witness, O God, we can proclaim the greatness of our God. So, Father God, even as you have called us to walk into the success that you have given us, Father, we bless you that that success is unveiled in the measure of the witness that is alive in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for this awesome message, which tells us, Father, that the lives that we live are measured by who you become. And who you become in our life is measured by the witness that is alive within us. And so, Holy Father, we glorify you. So, Holy Father, we magnify you. So, Holy Father, we worship you in spirit and we worship you in truth. We thank you for all that you have given us in Jesus' name. Amen.